Our gospel message today is the Transfiguration passage found in Luke chapter 9. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Well, suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he had said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days they told no one any of the things that they had seen. It's the gospel of our Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever found over time that you're having problems with reality? I mean, first of all, if you are, you're not alone. I mean, I think everyone's getting in the same boat eventually, especially when you've had programs on TV now for how many years that are supposed to be reality programs? Well, of course, you know they're not. I mean, sure, these people are walking around and doing their things in their houses or their businesses or wherever, but they're being followed by cameras and sound men and all kinds of other individuals. So it's not really, really reality. But still, if you've got a little problem with reality, I have a joke for you. And here it is. A brilliant magician was performing on an ocean liner, but every single time he did a trick, the captain's parrot would yell, "It's a trick. He's a phony. That's not magic." Well, then one evening, there was a big storm, and the ship sank while the magician was performing. Of course, the parrot and the magician end up on the same lifeboat together, and all they did for days is just stare at each other. They just glared at each other, and they didn't say a word. Finally, the parrot broke the silence, and he said, "Okay, I give up. What did you do with the ship?" You know, as smart as the parrot thought that he was, he couldn't explain, he couldn't even comprehend what had just happened. To say that things happen that we can't explain is an absolute understatement. But it doesn't make them any less real. Like scientists and researchers, they run into this kind of stuff all the time. They try some weird experiment, you know, in the laboratory, and something unexpected happens. It turns out very favorable, and they think, "My gosh, I can't believe this." They think it's an accident, so they'll try it again, and it'll work out, and they'll try it again. They'll keep trying to repeat it to see if it's real. Then finally you realize it's not an artifact. It's not an outlier. It is real, but you still can't explain it. But you also know that just because you can't explain it, it doesn't make it any less real. You still experienced it. And, you know, medicine is another good example of this. There's a book called A Physician's Desk Reference, a PDR. Big, thick thing. You know, it's large and it's thick and it's a lot of fine little print in there. And what it is, it's a monograph or a complete description of every drug that is prescribed today. And of course, everything that's been prescribed in the past for a number of years. So it's all the medications. And it's got everything in there about them. It's got their chemistry. It talks about how they're supposed to be used, the doses that are supposed to be used, the side effects, the warnings, the drug interactions, the clinical studies, if there are any. It has a world of information. But there's also this other little section in there, which is called the pharmacology. And pharmacology, of course, is how the drug works. And now you'd think that in order for physicians to prescribe the drug, for example, to control your blood pressure, that they'd know exactly how that drug worked. But this section, for many drugs, it often contains a very interesting little phrase, a little statement. So often you will find in there that the mechanism of action is unknown. Mechanism of action is unknown. That means they don't have a clue how it works. But that doesn't stop the FDA from approving it, or the physician from prescribing it, or you from taking it, because the effect of the drug is real. It works. And many of you have taken or are taking right now, including me, one or more of these drugs. Now, how's that for a dose of reality? But the real question is, why is it that what's good enough for our physical health isn't good enough for our spiritual health? For some reason, when it comes to theology, when it comes to understanding God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden the rules of what's acceptable start to change. I mean, it's no longer good enough to say the mechanism of action is unknown. I mean, even though so many of us have observed God working in the world, working in us in a very real way, but since we can't explain it, we just kind of gloss it over. And that keeps many of us from appreciating just what we have in Jesus Christ. In today's gospel, Peter and John and James have just one of those moments where they come face to face with reality. In fact, that was so real for them, it turned Peter into just a babbling fool wanting to build these little buildings for Moses and Elijah and Jesus. I mean, these three disciples, they witnessed Jesus being transfigured, metamorphized, you know, changed from a simple human who they'd been walking with, talking with, eating, into a glorifying and spiritual being, glowing like the sun itself alongside Moses and Elijah. And in that moment, it all became, so very real for them. But it wasn't because they understood what just happened. They didn't understand it just like we don't necessarily understand it today. Now, believe me, the mechanism of action of this event is way beyond what the disciples could understand. It became real because it just, at that moment, it all made sense. What they experienced was, it was reproducible. Because of all of God's teachings, everything that the prophets had been talking about, and all of Jesus' actions. I mean, for this was a moment when God and Jesus and the disciples and all that they had seen and heard just came together, came in contact with each other. And it was very real. Now, many of us have had these kinds of experiences. You know, maybe not as awe-inspiring as seeing somebody glow, you know, like Peter, but undoubtedly moments that have left us wondering. I'm sure we, almost all of us, have. Maybe at a graduation or a baptism, or when you just felt this sense of peace come over you. You don't know why or where. Maybe during a moment when you're just sitting quietly in a sanctuary waiting for a service to start. Or maybe as you step out of your car at night and you look up at this myriad of stars in the sky, and it just makes you feel comfortable. I know I can tell you that standing with a small group of African villagers at the top of a mountain next to their little church, which was simply grass and mud and sticks, where there's no road, no TV, no radio, no electricity, no light, and then having them worship Christ right before my very eyes, it just left me staring at them, wondering how Christ could be in the hearts of a people so far from anything if Christ wasn't real. These experiences, they're real. And they serve to point us toward accepting a loving God as real, even in the midst of a world that is filled with so much that is unexplained. You know, it clearly points to a simple fact that there is an abundance of love all around. I mean, these moments are real. We just can't explain them. Jesus has been given to us to provide light and clarity to a very dimly lit, hard-to-understand world, designed to make us, to make sense of all that seems unreal, and do so with an accepting heart. You know, we're never going to understand all the things that happen around us. We never will. There's always going to be mysteries. There will always be things that we will accept, but we still don't understand, whether it's in science or medicine or whether you're doing a mission trip on the other side of the world. But don't cast these special theological moments, these twinges of peace, these different feelings that you get, don't cast them aside. Don't leave your faith out of the mix, because the unexplainable effects of your relationship with Christ are every bit as real, you know, as that little pill that you're taking to control your blood pressure that seems to work just fine, but no one understands why. So now, just take this last couple of minutes. Picture yourself as your own researchers in the laboratory of life, of your life. And I ask you, have you seen and heard enough about God to make him real? And here's a couple things to consider. First of all, the stories of the Old Testament, the fact that they've lasted for thousands of years. The message from the prophets that still hold today. The birth of the Son, the miracles, the transfiguration, the death and resurrection of Jesus, the sense that even today love will prevail over evil and light over darkness. And then at the end of that list, tack this one on, tack on your own personal moment that you can't explain. Because bringing all of this together, bringing it all together, I mean, isn't it all reproducible and real enough for you to accept without fully understanding? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, it is hard. It's hard. It's hard to have complete faith in you when reality is defined by the world that we live in. Lord, help us to just accept all the ways that you seek us out and bring us peace and patience for all the time in the meantime. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.